Okay, this is really a good topic. It's not really a long, I don't have a lot of information on this lie, but I have some really good stuff on this lie because it's something that the world wants to believe. The lie is that my wife or my husband should accept me just like I am and never ask me to change. You know, when you think about that, that is really a ridiculous concept. I don't know about you, but I'll be 64 in a week or two, and I am glad that I've changed. I am glad I'm not the same person I was when I was in my 20s. I'm glad that over the years, through one way or the other, through getting kicked in the pants by life or the Lord allowing me to go through trials, that I have changed, even if sometimes it takes painful things to do it. I often tell people that when I lost my hand, when Gloria and I went through our problems, I changed dramatically. And I thought, well, man, I've changed so much. I don't think I felt like this, but I could have easily said to myself, well, I'm changed, man. I've got it all together. And guess what? Something else happened in my life that made me change even more for the better. And I don't wish that stuff on anybody. And I wish that we could change sometimes dramatically without having to go through things. But sometimes we have to. And we're not promised a clear sailing in this life. Sometimes bad things happen. But if we're looking to Christ, I can almost guarantee you will always come out of that situation with more wisdom and more grace and a closer relationship with God. Because I can look back at both situations in my life that were so difficult. And believe me, and I know that there's people in here who've gone through divorces and marital problems, and I know that to a person, they will tell you that it is one of the worst things they've ever gone through, whether they saved their marriage or not. And there's sometimes results in divorce, and sometimes, you know, that can't be helped, and sometimes it's a terrible thing. It always is a terrible thing to go through. I know that the people that have gone through it will tell you they wouldn't wish it on their worst enemy, and it's the truth. I mean, it's almost a universal feeling. But, you know, this idea that people should, or our marriage, our wife should, or husband should accept us just as I am, a lot of it is explained by this theory called the positive regard theory. And I want to read this because it's really kind of ridiculous. It's a theory by psychologist Carl Rogers, and he authored this theory basically states that people need to be accepted and valued regardless of how they act or behave. This theory believes that if we set aside our values, opinions, and expectations and judgment and provide a safe environment for someone, that they will open up and talk more openly and about their issues and be more likely to make positive changes. It's garbage. It's garbage to tell someone, oh, no, you don't have to change. Just talk to me. And then by talking to me and me being nice to you while you're screaming at me and slobbering all over me, well, that's going to make you change. I got news for you. That's not true. The theory's not biblical, and it does not foster growth and development in human relationship, and it certainly doesn't help our marriages. Yes, grace should be there. We should always have grace for the things in our spouse that we see that we don't necessarily admire or like. We need to have grace, but we also need to be able to speak truth in love. I'll read Romans 15, verse 7. And I've got a lot of verses here, so I don't know if I'll go through all of these. But Romans 15, 7 says, accept one another just as Christ has accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Now, it's great to accept one another. But if someone is constantly punching you in the face, you're not going to go, pow, I accept you just as you are, as you're taking each blow right to the mouth. I mean, that's the insanity of that positive regard theory. You need to have grace in your life. And you need to accept people's faults. But I don't think they're talking about things that are abuse or anything like that. And I don't even think they're necessarily talking about not wanting people to change. We should all want that in ourselves anyway. But it's okay to want your spouse to make changes. That's not, you know, so if a spouse, if you ever say to your husband or wife, say, well, you knew I was this way when I married me, you married me, so this is it. You don't like it? Too bad. Guess what? You're wrong. You're flat out. What if you told that to Jesus? Do you think that would stand with him? You know, when he calls us to repentance, do we say, when we come to accept Christ, do we say, you know, Lord, you said you would take me just as I am, so this is how I am, you know? Seriously. I mean, it sounds foolish, but that's what we do in our marriages. You know, that the Lord doesn't buy that stuff. You know, he wants us to work for repentance in our life. We all have issues. We are always going to have problems. None of us are ever going to be perfect. So if you have that expectation, realize that in this life, in this body, we're not going to be perfect. We're not going to be perfected until Jesus comes back. So we should be constantly striving to change. If we're not constantly striving to change for the better, then we're wrong. We're not following Christ the way we should. And it's the same way in our marriage. We should be open to change. If our spouse comes to and has a serious, and I'm not talking about coming to you in a criticism way or an abusive way. I'm talking about coming to you in love and saying, look, can we have a discussion? And you know, I'd like to see this kind of, you know, I would like to have this change in our marriage. Is there any way we can facilitate that? And we should have grace. And some things we should have grace about, again, and I've talked about that theme over and over. Some things just aren't important. I mean, you know, you can say, well, hon, I really would like, there's really a profound change I want to make in our marriage. And she says, well, I said, well, I would like us to start buying Skippy peanut butter instead of Jif. I mean, if you're saying something like that and that's profound to you, then you've got another problem. But what I'm talking about is like affection or time spent together. Time is a real important thing in a marriage. I mean, we'll hit on this again probably later on, but it's really important to a marriage that you spend time together. Money and that thing, that's a critical thing in marriage also, but time spent is the most valuable commodity that you can give your spouse, is the time that you can spend with them. Because the money's important, but in the long run, that time that you spent with them, the quality time, doing things together, sometimes something really simple, that's what really is creates value in your relationship. Another thing about being accepted just as you are that is wrong, and I'm going to read this one because it's pretty good. Proverbs 27, verse 5, I believe it is. Let's see. No, maybe that's not it. Just bear with me here for a second. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's 27:17. And I've used this scripture before, but I'll read it again. I will read 5, too, because it's a good one. Proverbs 27, verse 5 says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. So it's better to, if your spouse is doing something especially bad, like throwing fits in front of the children and throwing things against the wall and stuff, it's better to rebuke them for that and to call them out on it than to love them in a hidden way. I mean, it says here that you actually are loving them more by trying to want them to change behaviors in them that are not just destructive to your family, but destructive to them. How many people realize, and I'm sure you all do, that a person that has that kind of anger, they're not just destroying themselves or their family. They're destroying themselves because it'll just tear them up. And so grace and truth needs to be part of it. We need to speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15. I'll read that real quick because that's another very pertinent scripture for this topic that I'd like to get and read. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. So we need to speak the truth in love. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, obviously going to someone and saying, you know, you're really a messed up person. You know, you're wicked and evil. How about changing? You think you're going to get anybody changed talking to them like that? You're not. But you need to speak the truth and say, look, this is something that is a real problem because our kids are starting to act like this because of your behavior, or our kids are getting this attitude because you have this attitude. Say, for instance, a wife is always sarcastic towards her husband and makes sarcastic remarks and stuff. And then pretty soon, the next thing you know, your five-year-old is making sarcastic remarks to your husband or your wife. You know, it's okay to come to them in love and say, look, there's a problem we have in our marriage, and it's this, and can we get this straightened out? I would like to do it. I love you, and I want us to be effective both as partners, but also as parents. It's okay to do that. That's how we are supposed to approach it. But, you know, you can't start throwing back sarcasm or, you know, start talking to them with contempt to try and make it better, because it's just going to exacerbate the problem. Grace and truth need to be both to be a part of our relationship. A good example is Jesus dealing with the woman caught in adultery in John 8, 3 through 11. I'm going to read that also. John 8, 3 through 11. It says, Jesus went up into the Mount of Olives. At dawn he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what would you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Again he stooped down and wrote in the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until Jesus was left with the woman alone still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. And this is the important part. Go and sin no more. Go now and leave your life of sin. So it's important that we don't, when we try to work change into our marriage, that we don't do it in a condemning way, that we do it in a loving way. And that's what speaking, now Jesus spoke truth and love to this woman. He showed her grace and love, but he spoke truth to her also. And that's how we are supposed to deal with trying to get positive change in our marriage. And it should be a two-way street. Because just as much as we think that our wife should be just like us, there's changes that we need to make also. And so we need to be able to accept that from our spouse both ways. It should never be a one-way street, because we can always make positive change in our marriage. Always. Always. I don't care if you've been married 70 years. You can make it better. We cannot practice both of these together if we let resentment build up in us before we bring problems or issues out in our relationship. If we do it, we'll almost all certainly not be done the right way and little hope of resolving the issue. If you wait to discuss or have those conversations about change in your marriage until you are so uptight and angry and so much resentment has built up, it'll almost never be successful, because that resentment and bitterness will come out. And the next thing you know, a wall goes up. And then there's resentment and bitterness on both sides. So it has to be done when the problem's still young or when it's first realized. So if we're going to change, we're going to talk about change in a marriage, we can't wait till it's become so bad that we just can't bear it anymore. So I'm not talking about the little things. I'm talking about things like, affection or the way we argue. There's a right way to argue and to disagree, and there's a wrong way. I mean, you can argue by screaming and yelling and throwing things, or you can sit down and discuss them. And they don't have to be necessarily, you know, oh, I love you, could you do this or do that? But they need to be civil at the very least, so that the other person doesn't get put on the defensive. Because if you go into a discussion, a serious, deep discussion about changes in your marriage or changes in your spouse, and you approach it with a condemnation and name-calling, and it's going to go nowhere. It's just not going to work. So, and then at the same time, when the issues are brought to us, and this sometimes is the hardest part, because even sometimes when we're approached in a loving way, we have a tendency to put up walls. But we mishear our spouse without resentment. It's a two-way street. Iron sharpens iron, in Proverbs 27:17. You know, just as we can get better by listening to our spouse to bring about positive change in our life, they can also benefit from us accepting it in a positive way, not taking it personal, and not thinking automatically and put up the walls and say, you know, be honest with yourself. It's hard. It's hard to admit you're wrong. It always is. Or it's hard to admit that the way you were doing things is not the right way. It's wrong to admit, you know, I love football, but it's wrong if Gloria came to me and said, I would like for you to stop watching football. It would be wrong for me to say, well, I'm not going to stop watching it. You know, too bad. Get out of here. Because, you know, it's obviously she thinks it's an issue. Not that she does, because I don't watch it as much as I used to. But one of the reasons I don't watch it as much anymore is because I could see where it was not always a good thing. Sometimes it's okay and it's not an issue, but I can't prioritize things that are going to cause a rift or a problem in our marriage. And so if I need to change something, I need to be open to that. And sometimes it takes time. Sometimes, you know, if we say, okay, I'll change overnight, it doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes it's a gradual change, and that's okay. The important part is that we're moving in the right direction. But it has to be a two-way street, because there's always things about us that are not like we would like them to be. And it's okay to change some of those things for the benefit of our spouse, both ways. We must always be open to positive change in ourselves and in our marriage, just like we need to be in our walk with the Lord. In other words, we don't ever stand pat in our walk with Jesus. We shouldn't. And if we do, we're wrong. And so it's the same way with our marriage. We should never stand pat. We should always be looking to make positive changes to enhance our relationship and our family. And overcoming this lie requires grace. And again, we come back to that word that I'll probably mention this in every lie, is grace. And, you know, we can't go by what the world says. I want to read this one last thing. And I skipped over this, but I decided I want to read it because it's really a good thing. And a lot of you people that are older, like me, will remember this poem from high school. It was written by a Dr. Frederick Perls. And it's funny, actually. I mean, it's not meant to be funny. It was supposed to be, oh, how beautiful that is, but it's really ridiculous. And it's called the Gestalt Prayer. And it reads this way: I do my thing, and you do your thing. I am not in this world to live up to your expectations, and you are not in this world to live up to mine. You are you, and I am I. And if by chance we find each other, it's beautiful. If not, it can't be helped. That's garbage. Yeah. I mean, it's garbage. It's basically saying, hey, I am who I am, and I ain't changing for you, so don't ask. You know? I'm not here to meet your expectations. I'm not here to make you happy. I mean, it's so stupid, yet it was used to be on cards to express love, and it's one of the dumbest things ever written. And this guy was a doctor, a psychologist, and that is so stupid. That is the dumbest thing I think I've ever read. I mean, anybody who's been married for a long time will look at that and think that that's stupid. You know, if they've had a successful marriage and they said, I'm glad I didn't base it on that. Because what happens, that says, I'm never going to change for you. If you need me to be better, too bad. I'm this way and I'm not here to meet your expectations. Hey, it's okay. You do your thing. But in reality, that person usually that thinks that way doesn't want that. So, oh, no, you know, you're not living up to my expectations. So guess what? That's fine. We're just not going to meet, you know, so you separate after you've already been married. But that happens all the time and it's garbage. And we can't allow that type of secular mentality to enter into a Christian marriage. We just cannot. So, you know, our responsibility, number one, is to God. And God doesn't want us believing that idiocy right there. So that, I'll end it. I just wanted to include that at the end because I felt like it's something that sometimes you'll hear people recite, maybe not exactly that prayer, but something very similar, and it's just stupid. So...